I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord once again. And remember, we are in the house of the Lord. On Sunday, we come here to worship for one purpose and one purpose. Yes, of course, we come here to worship the one true living God. That is the primary purpose. But we also come here to show the world that we have got a living Savior, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you have this living Savior dwelling in your hearts, my dear friends? Yes, no? I trust you will be able to say, yes, this living Savior is dwelling in my heart. And if He dwells in your heart, then you must be showing forth His praises. You have been saved out of darkness into His marvelous light. And because we have this wonderful living Savior, we are here this morning to worship Him. We want to tell the world that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is alive. Now the subject this morning is wake up and remember. Wake up and remember. Now we have been studying the book of 2 Peter. Now remember, Peter wrote to the Christians who were scattered beyond the borders of Palestine. And they were probably Jewish believers. And they were scattered because they were persecuted in the first instance. They were persecuted, first of all, by the religious Jews. And then secondarily, they were persecuted by the fanatical Gentiles. And now another persecution was coming, remember? And this persecution was coming from the civil authority, from the Roman authority. And of course, if they were persecuted, it was easy for them to be discouraged. It was easy for them to give up the faith, and they might just say, why would I want to live a holy life and be persecuted? I might as well give up the faith. And so it was very, very needful that they be encouraged in the faith. And so Peter wrote them, he wrote the first letter to them and told them to be hopeful, be hopeful in the Lord. And then he wrote this second letter. Now this second letter was written to them to warn them against false teachings and against false teachers. And Peter told them that the best defense against false teachings and false teachers is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the eight graces that we talk about that he urged the Christians to grow in. Number one, faith. Number two, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, and also brotherly kindness and charity, which is sacrificial love. And the growth must, of course, be based on the Word of God. So he wrote this second epistle to warn them, to ask the brethren, to exhort the brethren to be alert, be aware of these false teachers and the false teachings. And he gave them and told them the best way to defend yourselves against these false teachers and false teachings is to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ based on the Word of God. So that was his number one motive in writing the second epistle. Now he had two other motives. I'd like us to look at verses 12 and 13 of 2 Peter chapter 1. Now look at his two other motives in writing 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 12 and 13. Verse 12, wherefore, Peter says, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. And verse 13, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in other words, in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So, what is the first of his other motives? The first is, he wrote this letter because he wanted to make sure that he was obedient to the Lord. You heard that? He wanted to make sure that he was obedient to the Lord. So he says in verse 12, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance. I will not be negligent. In other words, I want to be obedient to the Lord. That is his first motive. And then his second other motive is this. Look at verse 13. Yea, I think it meet. I think it is proper. I think it is right. In other words, he wanted to make sure that he was doing the right thing. So his first other motive was to be obedient to the Lord. He wanted to be sure that he was obedient to the Lord. And the other motive was he wanted to be sure that he was doing the right thing. So two motives. Now let's consider this first of these other two motives, which was to make sure that he was obedient to the Lord. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Now, we can be negligent as far as time is concerned. There are things that we ought to be doing right now, but we fail to do them. And so we are negligent in doing things at the right time. We are very, very inclined to postpone. We are very, very inclined to procrastinate. So we could be negligent as far as time is concerned in performing the things that we ought to be doing. And then we could be negligent in carrying out our responsibilities and our duties. And surely, my dear friends, young people will be very, very negligent if your parents ask you to do certain things, but you neglect to do those things that your parents ask you to do. Now, if you neglect to do those things that your parents ask you to do, then you would actually be disobedient to your parents. Now, Peter wasn't one who wanted to be disobedient to his Lord, and so he said, I will not be negligent. Or if your boss asks you to do certain things, and you neglect to do those things which your boss asks you to do, then you are being disobedient to your boss. Now, in the case of Peter, no, Peter said, I will not be negligent to do what the Lord wants me to do. I will be obedient to him in the things that he wants me to do. Now, you will remember, after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, we spoke about this about, I think, 2 weeks ago. After the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord appeared to his disciples that very, very early morning by the Sea of Galilee. Now, Peter was with 6 other disciples, and they went out fishing, and they caught nothing. They went out the whole night, they caught nothing. And then that early morning, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to his disciples. He was by the shore, on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he told his disciples, cast your net on the right side of the boat. And they did just that. And then there was a big haul. They caught something like 153 fishes. And then Peter recognized that it was the Lord. And just like Peter, once he recognized that he was the Lord, he was again very, very impulsive. He jumped into the water and waded to shore. Because Peter must hear the Lord speaking to him. Up till now, after the Lord rose up from the dead, after his denial of the Lord, after the Lord rose up from the dead, up till now, the Lord had not spoken to him, although he had appeared on 2 occasions to his disciples. The Lord didn't speak to Peter. Peter must hear the Lord speaking to him. Peter must hear that the Lord had forgiven him. So after breakfast, the Lord spoke to Peter. He said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? And what was Peter's answer? Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And what did the Lord tell Peter to do? Feed my lambs. Then the Lord said the second time, Peter, lovest thou me? And Peter said, Lord, you know that I love you. And this time the Lord told him, feed my sheep. And the Lord said a third time to him, Peter, lovest thou me? By this time, Peter was very, very grieved because he felt that the Lord doubted his love for him. That's why he asked him the third time, lovest thou me? And you know what was Peter's answer? He said this, thou knowest all things, Lord. Thou knowest that I love thee. And then the Lord said to him what? Feed my sheep. So friends, did not Peter know what he was supposed to do after the Lord rose up from the dead? Did not Peter know what he was supposed to do after the Lord ascended up to heaven? Did he not know? very, very clearly. The Lord had told him very, very specifically, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Then you remember there was the other occasion on the night on which the Lord was arrested. Now before the arrest took place, the Lord told Peter this, Peter, I pray for you that your faith fail not, and when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. When you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. And then you know what Peter said? Lord, I won't be offended. Even if other fellow disciples of mine are offended, I would not be offended. If I have to die with you, I will die with you. But that night, he denied the Lord 3 times. So did not Peter know what he was supposed to do? Yes, he knew. Strengthen the brethren after you have been converted. So he knew. Number one, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, strengthen the brethren. And because he loved the Lord, Peter truly loved the Lord. So now in loving obedience to the Lord, who told him, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, strengthen the brethren, he wrote this letter. Yes, this second epistle to the brethren who were scattered abroad. So Peter knew his ministry, and he was not going to neglect performing his ministry. He was going to obey the Lord's command fully. Now I ask you this morning, do you know what the Lord wants you to do in the way of serving him? Do you know? You say you love him. Now if you say that you love him, then you must know what the Lord wants you to do. And if you do not know, this morning you must pray and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do. Show me how I may be able to serve you. Don't forget, friends, he has given us talents to serve him. How many talents has he given you? How many? You say, no. You're wrong, my dear friends. He has given you at least one talent, at least. And he says so in his word. You turn back to 1 Peter and look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. The Lord has given to us at least one talent. Okay? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10. I read for you the verse. As every man hath received the gift, you see, at least one gift, the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So each one of us has been given at least one talent to serve. So we cannot say that we don't have any talent at all. We have. And now let's not be negligent to make use of the gifts that he has given us to serve. We are supposed to be obedient to him, like Peter was supposed to be obedient to the Lord. Now on television, we see quite a lot of, here in Australia, we see quite a lot of these so-called talent discovery programs, right? Have you seen them? So we have got this program like Australia Has Got Talents. You know that program? I think you know what I'm talking about. Or the Australian Idol. Or So You Think You Can Dance. And then Make Me a Model, right? So there are so many talent discovery programs, and I tell you, it's really incredible, really amazing to see so many people lining up, queuing up to participate in these programs, because people want to discover their talents and they want to show the world that they have these talents. For what purpose, my dear friends? To make a name for themselves, of course. And then by so doing, in the course of doing so, make a lot of money. That's what people want to do, right? Yes, friends, these people uncover their talents to serve themselves. And but we believe what the Word of God says. We believe that what they do is for now and not for eternity. And we also do believe that the gain that they have through the discovery of the talent, the gain that they have would be, but what? As King Solomon says, but vanity of vanities, nothingness of nothingnesses. That's what they will have. That's what they will gain. And remember what the Lord Jesus Christ talks about, gaining things in this world. He says this, for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Yet, people in the world would not be negligent to find out what kind of talents then they have. And then they discover these talents, make use of them for their earthly benefits and their earthly advantages. We say we don't do things like that because we are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the whole wide universe. And we say we must do all things that count not just for now, but count for eternity. Don't we say that? Yes, we do. We must do all things that will count for eternity. And then we tell ourselves, because the Word has told us, the Word of God has told us so. One day we will be rewarded when we come face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, He's going to tell us what? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. So we are looking forward to that day. But right now, what are we doing in the way of finding out what talents He has given to us? And if we have discovered the talents that He has given to us, what are we doing with the talents that He has given to us? Are we making use of them to serve the Lord? To Peter, the Lord says what? Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, strengthen the brethren. To us, what does the Lord say to us this morning, my dear friends? We must not be negligent to find out. Now, is it to play a more active role in this church? Is it in the fellowship that we are in? Is it to play a more active role? Or is it to teach Sunday school? Perhaps the Lord has given you the talent to teach. Now, is it to teach Sunday school? Or is it to become a member of this church so that you will be more effective for the Lord in your service for Him? As you know, in this church we have certain peculiarities, and one of the peculiarities that if we want to be involved in the teaching ministry, we've got to be a member of this church. We want to be very, very sure that you embrace the same kind of beliefs that we have here. And when you are very sure, and we are very, very sure, we welcome you with open arms to serve with us. We long for you to co-labor with us. We love for you to become members of this church. So we hope, my dear friends, that you will become members. And how? We've got a basic Bible knowledge class in this church. Go through the basic Bible knowledge class and you will have an understanding of what this church believes in. Then, what does the Lord want us to do? Is it to be involved in some other ministry, such as the hospitality ministry, or the benevolence ministry, or the follow-up ministry? My dear friends, we must identify what the Lord wants us to do. And if we truly love Him, we must not be negligent to find out what He has given us, what talents He has given us. We must be not negligent to make use of the things that He has given us to serve Him, if we truly love Him. Now, we can be negligent when we fail to do the best that we can in what He wants us to do. We say that we want to glorify His holy name, and we must glorify His holy name, because His word says, whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we must do all to the glory of God. Then how can we be glorifying His name, my dear friends, if we are not doing our very, very best to serve Him? Now we see, I've said this before, we see people competing in sports, competing in games, competing in dances. When they are injured, what do? Give up. I don't want to compete anymore. Is that the case? No, my dear friends, what they will do is they strap themselves up and they once again go into the competition field. And they try very, very hard to put up a good show. All for what? For their own fame and for their own glory. And they will do it. Remember this rower that represented Australia in the recent Olympic Games. He hurt his back. It was very, very badly hurt. It was very, very painful. And taking that punishment of the painful back, he continued to compete. And you guess what? He won a gold medal. Yes, in spite of his painful back, he won the gold medal. And when he came back to Australia, he had to go through a very, very risky operation to repair his back. But he would do it, friends, all for the sake of winning a gold medal. And as we said, we are supposed to be serving whom? Serving the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the ruler of the whole wide universe, who says to us, I've given my life for you. What have you given for me? I've given my life for you, shed my precious blood for you. What have you given for me? We say we love him. If we say we love him, should we then not lovingly obey his commands to serve him and to give him our very, very best? My dear friends, we must give him our very, very best. We must not neglect to give him our very, very best. Now, I'm not suggesting that we compare our service to the Lord with the service of other people who are more talented than we are. Now, for example, I cannot compare my teaching, my preaching ability to someone who is more capable than myself, someone who is more educated than myself, someone who is more eloquent than myself, someone who has got a better mastery of the English language than I have. I cannot compare with someone like that. Or if you are a grade 5 musician, you cannot and you should not be comparing with someone who is a grade 8 musician. My point really is this. I must be giving my very, very best. If I have grade 5 talent, I do my very, very best with my grade 5 talent. If I have grade 8 talent, I give my very, very best with my grade 8 talent to serve the Lord. Now, I'm always very, very fascinated by the drawing of little kids. Are you not fascinated? Yes, you look at them, they are very, very interesting drawings to look at. Particularly if they draw their parents, right? They draw mommy and daddy. And I dare say that they put their little talent to the best use possible. And when they dedicate their drawing to mommy and daddy. And in their little minds and in their little hearts, they think that they have given mommy and daddy their very best. And they indeed have given mommy and daddy their very best. And are not mommy and daddy proud of their drawing? I tell you, they are very, very proud. Yes, very, very proud. Even if mommy and daddy were to become monsters, if they look like the drawings that the children paint of them. Isn't it true? Yes, you would. And I'm not surprised at all if you would take the picture and you would frame that picture up also. Now, why is that picture so acceptable to you? Why do you delight in that picture? You delight in that picture because that picture was drawn out of love for you. Isn't it true? And you know that your child has given his or her very, very best to draw that picture. My point is this, my dear friends. We must not be negligent to give our very, very best. We may not be the most talented people around. But if we give our very best, would not God accept that very best that we give? Yes, no? Yes. If we give it out of love to him. Then we would be very negligent if we fail in giving a commitment to what we are to do for him. Now, to do well in business, or to do well in your work, or to do well in your studies, do you give a commitment to do well? I say if you are a university student studying for your exams, you will be very, very committed to do your studies, right? Surely you would. Months ahead, you will be very, very concerned about the examination you are going to sit for. And so you say, I commit myself to give 100% attention to my studies. Or if you are doing your work or doing your business, you are fully committed to do your work and do your business. When the Lord told Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. Do you think Peter said in his heart, Lord, I'm not sure whether I'll do this for you or not? Did he say that? No, friends. What did he say? Lord, you know that I love you. Did Peter give a commitment to serve? Yes. Lord, you know that I love you. I'm giving a commitment to serve you. By your grace, I will serve you. And that is what he was saying. And now, as always, after he made that commitment, he was carrying out that commitment when he wrote this letter, the second epistle. He was carrying out that commitment to serve. And so he says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Now, if we are not to be negligent in our service, really we must make a commitment to serve. The commitment must begin with the right priority. You see, the Lord must always be first in our lives. Yes, if we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and have our priority right, it is very, very much easier for us to make a commitment. Isn't it true? But if the Lord is way down in your list of priority, it's going to be very, very difficult for you to make a commitment to serve Him. So the Lord must be first. So when people are asked to serve, very often, when they say, "Oh, I'm not sure whether I'm going to be available to serve or not," actually what it does mean is the Lord is very, very low down in the priority. He is not first in the lives. And that kind of answer, "I do not know whether I'm available to serve or not," is a very, very clear reflection of a lack of commitment. Now, if a person has his priority right, if God is first in his life, and if he is genuinely not sure whether he's available or not, what would he do? He will say, "All right, can you please give me maybe half a day to check? I'll check, I'll come back to you. If I'm available, I'll tell you I'll be available. And I'll make a commitment." He will do that. But oftentimes, when people say, "I'm not sure whether I'm available or not," it's actually a very, very lame excuse for not wanting to serve. Really, the person has got no desire to serve. That's why the person is not making that commitment. Friends, let us not be negligent in our service. Let us make a very, very firm commitment in regards to our service unto the Lord. If we really love the Lord, and if we really want to obey Him. Next, we will be negligent in our service of the Lord if we fail to do things at the right time. And one thing I think we are all very guilty of is this thing called procrastination, right? When we should be doing it now, we say, wait a little while, I'll do it sometime later. Yes, there is no sense of urgency, particularly in regards to this matter of saving souls. No urgency at all. You know, we always make this assumption that we will be seeing these people again to whom we are giving the gospel. And we make this assumption that these people will live another day to hear the gospel. And that's the assumption that we make. But friends, that's a wrong assumption. Wrong assumption. Those people might not live another day to hear the gospel. And that's the truth. In the year 1871, this great preacher by the name of D.L. Moody was preaching in the city of Chicago to a big crowd, a few thousand people in this big hall. And he came to the conclusion of his message. And when he came to the conclusion, he read Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. I read that verse for you. Listen carefully. Matthew 27, 22. He read this. "Pilate saith unto them," you see, the Lord was brought before the trial, brought to trial before Pontius Pilate. "And Pilate saith unto them," saith to the Jews, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And then D.L. Moody that evening told the congregation members, "You go home and think about the message. And then next week, we answer this question, what shall we do with Jesus Christ?" Just as Pilate asked the question, "What shall we do with Jesus? What shall I do with Christ?" So he dismissed them. And D.L. Moody said that what conclusion was the biggest mistake he ever made in his life. You know why? He never saw the same congregation again. The big hall that he held the meeting in was burned down in the big Chicago fire. And the fire killed thousands of people in the city of Chicago and perhaps also killed some of the members that were in that congregation. So my dear friends, never make the assumption that people will live another day to hear the gospel that we are supposed to give to them. They may not. They may not. Let us not be negligent, my dear friends, in our service unto the Lord. Let us not neglect what He wants us to do. Let us not neglect to do our very, very best. And let us never neglect to give a commitment to the service that we are to give unto the Lord. And let us be very, very urgent in the things that we ought to do for the Lord. Yes, let us be very, very timely. Now, next, let's look at the next motive the Apostle Peter had in writing this letter. Remember, we said he had two other motives. I've already spoken about that first motive, and that was to be obedient to the Lord. He wanted to be very sure that he was obedient to the Lord. Now let's look at the second motive. Look at verse 12 and verse 13 again. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. And verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, I think it right, I think it proper, as long as I am in this tabernacle, in this body, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now his next motive was to make sure that he was doing the right thing in his service for the Lord. Doing the right thing. And indeed he was doing the right thing. It was the right thing because, first of all, he was doing it in obedience to the Lord. So he was doing the right thing. Next, it was the right thing for him to do because he was putting the Christians in remembrance of the truth they already knew. And also besides that, he was actually stirring them up to remember the truths that they already knew. Now the truths would include things like the graces that we talk about, right? The eight graces. And remember, Peter also told them that they were, must be what? They must be diligent to make their election and calling sure. Remember that? These were the things that the folks that Peter was writing to had already known. Now it wasn't that they didn't know what Peter was going to talk about, what Peter was talking about, they knew. And so 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12 says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, you already know them, and be established in the present truth. They were already established in that present truth. They knew. But why did Peter still have to write to them? They knew, but they could have forgotten, you see. Or if they had not forgotten, if they remembered, they were not applying what they knew to their lives. Are we not like those Christians, my dear friends? We might have forgotten the truth that we have known. Or if we remember the truth, we are not applying the truth to our lives. We are very much like them. Now, Peter had to write them to stir them up to remember the truth. And so he says this in the second verse, verse 13. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up. Stir you up by putting you in remembrance. Now Peter wrote to them to stir them up to remember. Now the word stir has the idea of awakening. It has the idea of rousing up. Yes, it is also used actually in the stirring up of the storms in the Sea of Galilee. You look at John chapter 6 verse 18. Alright, just turn to John chapter 6 verse 18 to illustrate my point. I want to draw your attention to this verse. John chapter 6 verse 18. John chapter 6 verse 18. But keep your finger at 2 Peter. And the sea arose. You read the word arose. And the sea arose. It means the sea was stirred up by reason of a great wind that blew. Now what does it mean then when Peter said, I write this to stir you up to remember the truth? In other words, what Peter was doing was this. He was going all out to stir the believers to remember the truth. That was what he was doing. Now friends, how should preachers and teachers stir people to remember the truth and to apply the truth to their lives? It is as Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2. How to stir people up to remember the truth? It is to reprove them, correct them, in other words, rebuke them, exhort them, encourage them with all long-suffering and doctrine. And it is also to warn them. So it is to reprove, to correct them, rebuke them, exhort them, and also to warn them. Now, the question is, how can we stir people up to remember the truth if we don't make enough preparation in our service to stir people up? How can we stir people up if we don't prepare hard enough? So I ask you, how much time every day do we spend praying that our service will be very, very effective, that it will stir people up in the faith to remember the truth? How much time do we spend praying? And then do we remember every time to we pray that we will be asking God's mighty Holy Spirit to empower us to cause a mighty work to be done, to cause a great stirring work to be done? Do we remember to pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us? And friends, seriously, I want to ask you, do you put in all your very, very best in your preparation for your Sunday school lessons, all you Sunday school teachers? Do we prepare our Sunday school lesson with the thought of just covering the lesson? Oh, I've got 45 minutes or 1 hour. Let me just cover the lesson. That will suffice for the day. Or do we prepare with this thought, Lord, on the going, I want to stir them up to remember the truth. I want to stir them up to come to believe in you as the Lord and as their Lord and Savior. I want to go in to stir them up so that they will remember the truth and apply the truth in their life. Now, do we do that? My dear friends, that is the way we ought to be preparing our lessons. That is the way we ought to be preparing ourselves for our service for the Lord. So, Peter exhorted them to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He warned them against false teachers. He rebuked actually the elders in the church also not to lord over the congregation members. As he said, did not the people that he wrote to know all these things that he was writing about? They probably didn't know. So would the things that he said to them be something that was very repetitive? Would it not be repetitive? Yeah, they already knew. So if he was telling them again, it would be repetitive. Yes, there were things that these folks were not hearing for the first time, we can be very, very sure. Peter must have said these things over and over and over again to them. But they had to be said over and over again to them. You know why? Because they were forgetful, that's why. So I have to say the same thing to you. Every Lord's Day, I think I am very, very repetitive every Lord's Day. Have I not been? I think I've been very repetitive. I've got to say the things over and over and over again. No matter how creative I am, no matter how innovative I am in my approach, I will have to be saying the same thing. Yes, there is nothing new in the gospel. Did you realize that? Nothing new. The great C.H. Spurgeon says, there is nothing new in the gospel. If it is new, it is heresy. Alright, nothing new. So the gospel is the same. Yes, Paul wrote to Timothy and gave this exhortation to Timothy. Timothy, preach. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering. In other words, Timothy, be very, very long-suffering. Be very, very patient. If you have to repeat what you say, just repeat. Keep on teaching, keep on repeating, keep on teaching, keep on repeating. Senior pastor Dr. Toh calls this holy nagging. Now, should I nag? Now, if I should nag, it is not because I've grown old and become naggy. I'm not saying that I'm not old, but surely I'm not becoming naggy. But I nag because I think it's the right thing for me to do. If I fail to nag, I think I fail in my duty. So, friends, those of us who are in the teaching and the preaching ministry, those who are doing exhorting Sunday school teachers, be very, very encouraged. Yes, be very, very encouraged. You may think that you're repeating what you're saying. You may be saying, oh, my Sunday school pupils are going to be very, very bored by what I'm going to say today. My dear friends, not to worry. Yes. Of course, we should try to be as creative as possible in our approaches, but don't be afraid to repeat what you say. Your Sunday school pupils would have forgotten. Like you would have forgotten what I said last week. I need to repeat. Or what I said 3 years ago, you would have forgotten. I've got to repeat what I say. You need to be reminded. My dear friends, so Sunday school teachers, all of us who are in the preaching ministry, let us not be afraid to repeat what we said before. Yes, it is the right thing for us to do. You know, the Lord did that. He didn't say things just one time, sometimes several times. Paul did that. Peter did that. Okay? And so do that. But don't try to invent anything new. Because if it is new, it is heresy. Alright, remember that. And we hearers must be reminded to do the things the Lord wants us to do. We need to be reminded, and let us be very, very thankful that the Lord sent teachers and preachers to come into our midst and to remind us, never let us say, there he goes again, the same thing. All right, but be very, very thankful that the Lord sends teachers, preachers to remind us of the things that we ought to be knowing and the things that we ought to be applying to our lives. But friends, the best way of reminding ourselves is for ourselves to remind ourselves. You realize that? That's the best way to remind ourselves. So how do we do it? The way to do it is every day, every morning, do your quiet time. Go to the Word of God, read God's Word, and be reminded in regards to what we ought to do for the Lord every day. And surely Peter did the right thing. Remember, Peter was very, very concerned about doing the right thing. He says, I want to be sure I'm doing the right thing. And surely Peter did the right thing. And he did the right thing when he penned down these words, which he spoke to the Christians who were scattered abroad. Now, if what he said was not penned down, but passed by word of mouth from one person to another, and throughout the ages, lots of things would have been lost, and lots of things that he said would have been distorted. But Peter, moved by God's mighty Holy Spirit, did the right thing. He penned down God's word. And this has become a permanent record, a permanent reminder to us. It's permanent. The Lord says, till heaven and earth pass away, my word shall not pass away. A permanent reminder to us. So I urge you, my dear friends, yes, you want to grow in the Lord, go home, read 1 Peter and 2 Peter. All right? You'll be very, very blessed. So if we truly love the Lord, and I assume you do, that's why today you are in the house of the Lord. Let us not be negligent to do the things which the Lord wants us to do. Let us identify the areas which we can serve the Lord in. And then after we have discovered those areas, after we have discovered our talents, make use of those talents to serve the Lord. And let us not be negligent to do our very, very best for Him. Let us not be negligent to give a commitment to serve the Lord in the areas that we ought to be serving. And then, my dear friends, let us always remember to be very, very timely in serving the Lord, especially when it comes to giving out the gospel. Always remind our hearers this with these words, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation." Let us be very, very urgent when we give out the gospel. And let us always be doing the right thing to please the Lord. Peter knew his ministry, and his ministry was to stir up the Christians that were scattered abroad to remember the things that they already knew. My dear friends, let us therefore also be doing the right thing and wonder the right things that we ought to be doing as teachers and as Bible study leaders and as preachers, is to stir up people to remember the truths that they have already known, and to stir them up to apply these truths to their lives. And never let us try to teach anything new, alright? Because remember this truth, whatever that is new, my dear friends, which is not the gospel, is heresy. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Teach us, O Lord God, to know what you want us to do. And help us, O Lord God, to be obedient to you and not be negligent to do those things that we ought to be doing. And Father, we pray that we may not neglect to give you our very best. We pray that we may not neglect to give a commitment to want to serve you. And Lord, we pray that we may not neglect to do things in a very timely manner. And Father, we pray that you will help us, that we may always aim to do the right thing for you. Things that are glorifying to you, we pray, Father, by your grace, we may be able to do them. And Lord, help us and guide us and strengthen us for your own glory. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.